if I can get 'em, but I got 'em right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get 'em, but I got 'em right now.
Develop these bars for the developing stars. Whoa, wrecked by the stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, 'cause college is bleak, man. Knees of the bees, man. Devy happy hour now. I trust him with everything. Every confidence giving me confidence. Sipping is hopping and really no stopping. I'm making a champion. Y'all put a sock in it. But this is life, bro. They're at it all night, though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devy crew.
I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening, wherever you are listening. This is episode 57 of the Devy Happy Hour. My name is Skip Newton. I am coming to you from Eagan, Minnesota, from the office studios. It's Friday, October 23rd, and my usual co-host, Brian Shikoshis, who I call Master Yoda, and from North Carolina, Matthew Jackson, who I call Obi-Wan, are both unavailable today, so looks like I'm Han Solo for this episode, as I'm going to be doing this all by my lonesome. That being the case, let's get right into the news for the week. We've got a few injury updates for you. We've got some other players opting out early after they started the season, so I want to make sure you guys are all up to speed on that. Wide receiver Reggie Roberson from SMU is out for the season with a knee injury. It's a really unfortunate injury there for Roberson. He was looking really good, so big time bummer there. Hopefully he can recover and get himself ready for the draft next year. Kansas running back Puka Williams Jr. has opted out of the remainder of the 2020 season, so he will be draft eligible, as has Memphis wide receiver Demonte Coxey leaving Memphis for the NFL draft, so joining his running back teammate Kenneth Gainwell, two stud Devy prospects there, both out. In other news, of course, it's a big weekend as we got a couple conferences starting back up, the Big Ten and the Mountain West. So we get a few more conferences, some more games to watch. It's always exciting. And we got plenty of Big Ten news, and that's going to be the main topic for my show, is I'm going to do a Big Ten preview for the weekend and talk about the players that you're going to want to keep track of from the Big Ten conference, since we've been focusing on all the other conferences thus far. Some news there, Michigan wide receiver Nico Collins is leaving after signing with an agent, so he is no longer going to be playing college football. He'll also be draft eligible. And in a surprise announcement just this week, if not today, Purdue wide receiver Rondale Moore, who had opted out and then decided to come back, is not going to play this weekend due to an undisclosed injury. So hopefully that's nothing serious, because we all want to watch Rondale Moore play. He was such an exciting player his freshman year 2 years ago. Last year was cut short by injury, so we'd like to see him back on the field. He has absolute day one draft potential next year when he does go into the NFL. And then even more unfortunate news, Penn State running back Journey Brown may miss the entire 2020 season due to an undisclosed injury. We're not really sure what's going on there. Of course, in college, they don't have to say what the deal is. Hopefully it's not, you know, really serious or career-threatening, because Journey Brown was one of my favorite prospects coming into the 2021 draft. I've got him in three of my leagues, either Devy or Campus to Canton, and one of those I want to talk about in a little more detail. In the offseason, before all of this started, I made a trade in one league. It was a Devy league, three rounds in each Devy draft and the rookie draft. They're separate drafts. And we've got 12 teams, and it's super flex and a two tight end league, just to give you an idea of, you know, the parameters of that league. I traded straight up Ronald Jones for Journey Brown. And at the time, I felt pretty good about that move. Of course, Ronald Jones hadn't really shown us a lot in his first two seasons with Tampa Bay. And I believe this trade happened before they acquired the freshman in the draft, whose, of course, name is escaping me. Not the freshman, but the rookie. But I wasn't really sure if Ronald Jones was ever going to be a breakout player, and I really liked Journey Brown, and I wanted to acquire him before the 2020 Big Ten season, because I figured after he absolutely exploded this year, and I thought he definitely was going to do that, I was going to pick up right where he left off and look incredible, and his value would go way up. I wanted to get him before that happened, so I was able to make this move. Of course, now the player values have changed, and that's really what I wanted to talk more about. Ronald Jones, of course, is having easily his best season of his career, so his value has gone quite a bit up, and now with the injury news to Journey Brown, his stock has gone down. And when you're thinking about Devy player value, I think there's a process to this that can really help you when trying to decide how you compare Devy prospects to the NFL players that are already established and in the league. And the things that I like to do, first is I really highly recommend that you rank those players in the next draft class. So look at the 2021 class. Just assume that anyone who's eligible will go out. Of course, they're not going to all do that. You're going to hear about some surprise guys that stay in school. You know, everyone thought Najee Harris and Travis Etienne were going to go into the draft in 2020, and they both opted to come back. So those guys, you know, weren't expected to do that, but that's going to happen. But for the sake of the process, just go ahead and rank those players, and I highly recommend you use a tiered system. So you can give them a 1 through 12 or however deep you want to go, but create tiers at each position, and that will really help you compare, you know, running backs to wide receivers to tight ends to quarterbacks. And that way, when you're doing like a rookie draft in a non-Devy league, it's going to be a lot easier for you to decide, okay, do I want to take one of my tier two running backs at this pick, you know, in the middle to late first round, or do I want to, you know, step up to one of my tier one wide receivers? I think that's a great process to follow. I think you're going to hear that recommendation from a lot of the analysts out there. And when speaking about running backs and specifically this trade, you know, I had Najee Harris and Travis Etienne. They're my 1-2, and they're my tier one running backs. There is nobody else in tier one. And I'm looking at the other 2021 prospects, and I don't see any of them stepping into that tier for me. I mean, Chuba Hubbard is a solid player. I like him. He's in tier two. Kenneth Gainwell's in tier two as well. Same with Kylan Hill. And that's it. And I also had Journey Brown in tier two. And of course, there's opportunity there, for, I think, for some movement, but tier one's pretty set. So I had Journey Brown in tier two. And then what I really recommend is after you've got your ranked players, do a mock rookie draft as if it wasn't a Devy league. So put all those players out there, you know, all the ones that are taken as Devy prospects, put them in the draft and just do a mock draft in your league and see where they would fall. You know, if it's super flex, obviously, you're going to have some quarterbacks go high, and then probably the running backs, and then you're going to start mixing in wide receivers. And that can depend based on, you know, the teams in your league. But do a mock draft and kind of figure out where those guys would fall. And of course, you have to ask yourself, you know, questions as you're doing this. You know, what's going to happen if, you know, player A doesn't get the draft capital that you're expecting? You know, you kind of have to make some guesses as to where a guy's going to get drafted. Of course, there's websites for that. You can go out and look at the rankings. I highly recommend the Dynasty Draft Room has a nice tool out there with they've already got the 2021 prospects listed. So you can go out and list that, and you can filter by position and see, okay, he's projected to be a day two pick. He's projected to be a day three pick, whatever that is. And, you know, ask yourself, you know, how does that change your mock, and how does that change your rankings? And then you can also decide, okay, where would I rank these guys in comparison with NFL players? So, you know, if Najee Harris gets taken in the early second round and he goes to a team, you know, that absolutely has an opportunity for him to get early touches and carries, you know, let's say Atlanta, for example, or maybe he'll go to, you know, Miami if you're not thinking that Miles Gaskin's going to be, you know, the guy there, then where would you rank a player like that compared to all the other running backs in the NFL that are already there? And that's a great process to have, and it kind of gives you an idea of the value of that player. And in the case of this trade, I did mocks, and I had Journey Brown, again, as a tier two running back, thinking, okay, he's in a super flex league, he's probably going to be behind those tier one quarterbacks and the tier one running backs for sure, and probably a couple of those tier one wide receivers. But you're looking at a mid to late first round rookie pick in a non-Devy league. So then it became an easy call for me to make, right? I'm gonna trade Ronald Jones straight up for a first round pick, a mid to late first round pick. I think a lot of people would have taken that deal at the time that I made the trade. But again, you got to remind yourself, you know, when you're talking about these Devy prospects, as great as they are, they're still farther removed from the NFL than the guys that are already there. So there's a lot more unknowns. There's more opportunity for injury or other weird stuff to happen. And that does devalue them a little bit when you're comparing them to their NFL counterparts. So always got to keep that in mind. Make sure that, you know, you're being reasonable with your rankings. You can't just assume that every single Devy prospect is going to come into the NFL and be an immediate stud. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. So you'll be cautious there and be realistic. All right, let's get into the Big Ten preview. We've got running backs to start with, since we've already been talking about them for a little bit. Of course, unfortunately, there's no Journey Brown in Penn State, but that does create an opportunity for somebody to step up, and there are no shortage of options here, as Penn State's got just a slew of four-star prospects, both from 2019 and 2020, and it could be anybody's guess as to which one of these guys is going to be the man that steps up and takes control, if they even go that route. They might, you know, do a split backfield, which of course none of us want, but we'll see how this plays out. It's kind of like the Clemson wide receiver room, where you've got all these guys with all these available targets, and you're just waiting for one of them to step up and take control. So the first one I'm going to talk about is the guy that led the team last year, obviously not including Journey Brown, in yards. That was Noah Cain. He's a sophomore. He's 5'10", 228, so a big kid. This kid is built to be a three-down back. Of course, he can take the pounding. He was a four-star recruit, as all these guys I'm going to talk about were or are. 443 yards last season, a 5.3 average with 8 touchdowns. So a solid season, given that he wasn't the number one guy. I mean, once Journey Brown took over, it was pretty much the Journey show. He's not going to beat you with speed, but he's a very strong runner. He's got good vision, good patience, and he has good balance as well. So I think he's going to probably get the first opportunity to be the RB1 at Penn State. The next guy is another sophomore returning, Devin Ford, 5'11", 192. He had 294 yards last year, 5.7 average with 3 touchdowns. He definitely has day 2 draft potential. He's got very quick acceleration with a nice jump cut, which of course you can't talk about a Penn State running back and not eventually hear jump cut come out of that program, man. They produce, it's like they teach that better than anyone else. It's incredible. So I like his opportunity as well as perhaps a more of a sleeper pick. And then a couple of incoming freshmen, Keziah Holmes, 5'11", 179. He's an all-purpose back. His game is definitely built on speed. So he could still, though, improve as a pass catcher, which is kind of interesting given that he's an all-purpose back. So he's probably my last choice if I were to rank these guys. And then the fourth one, Kevon Lee, 6 feet even, 210 pounds. And this kid is a power back, but he also is athletic. He's a very good pass catcher with definite three-down potential. So if I'm comparing the two freshmen, I'm definitely going Kevon Lee first. And I might have him second overall. I like where this kid's, you know, what his evaluation is coming out of high school. So it'll be interesting to see which one of these two, you know, these two freshmen, whether it's Holmes or Lee, gets more of an opportunity, or do Kane and Ford completely dominate that backfield. But a lot of opportunity there in Penn State. So that's something definitely that we want to watch. Another running back out there, Trace Sermon, Ohio State, transferring from Oklahoma. This is one that we want to keep an eye on because, of course, there was an injury to his teammate, Master Teague. And I was much higher on Master Teague until that Achilles injury. So I want to see if Trace Sermon can step up. He had a lot of potential, a lot of talent, but he hasn't shown that yet. Is he going to be the guy? I mean, it's an enormous opportunity in Ohio State. That offense is absolutely potent. I mean, they've got, four and five star recruits in their passing game across the board. I mean, we'll obviously talk about that more later, but he's going to get every opportunity to be just an explosive player this year for Ohio State. So we're going to see how that develops. And of course, Master Teague, will he be able to come back from Achilles? I actually had him in a league and chose to cut bait. I had to trim my roster, and it was a tough decision to make. But Achilles injuries with running backs make me nervous, so I chose to let him go. Zach Charbonnet is another guy from Michigan. He's definitely moving down the list, quite a bit for me. I'm not super high on Charbonnet. He's got some decent production: 726 yards, 11 touchdowns. He's got the size, 6'2", 215. He's an okay, he's a good college running back. I just don't see him as a likely NFL back. I don't think he's going to make that transition. He's got decent speed. He does stutter step when he's cutting. He's not quick. Of course he's strong and he breaks tackles. So that's one where I'm not high on him, but we'll see. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. And if he ends up being a great player in the NFL, then I'll take the L on that. I mean, that happens. You're not going to hit on every guy. You're not going to be right on every guy. So he's just one of those guys I'm not as high on. Of course, Michigan's playing my Gophers this weekend, so I'm setting myself up for him to have, a 250-yard day, and I'm going to eat crow on that, but we'll see. But speaking of my Gophers, the next one on the list is Mohamed Ibrahim of the University of Minnesota. Row the boat. This guy's a little sneaky. I like Ibrahim. I don't think I'm being a homer here. His yards last season were not great. He was definitely in a split backfield, just 604 yards with 7 touchdowns. He's 5'10", 205, so he's built like a truck. I mean, he looks bigger than 205. He looks stronger. He's going to run over you, and he's going to break tackles. That's kind of his game. He does have a nice little burst through the hole. He's not super elusive, but he will definitely break tackles, and not much of a pass catcher, at least not to this point. Now, keep in mind, while his 2019 numbers weren't all that great, in 2018, he had 1,160 yards with 9 touchdowns. So this kid can produce if he's the RB1, which is why I think you're going to see his value go up this year, and he's gonna impress some people if he's the main guy there with the Gophers. The last one is Elijah Collins from Michigan State. Again, not a guy I'm super high on. He's 6 feet, 217, 988 yards with 5 touchdowns last year. He's got an okay burst, speed. He can be a little bit shifty, but he's not really going to run away from guys very often. I do like his vision. It's pretty decent there, but he feels like just a guy. So I'm not excited about Collins. I think he's only on, campus to Canton leagues, really. He's not going to be on any Devy rosters unless it's a super deep Devy league, but I don't see him translating to the NFL either. Let's move over to the wide receivers. We got a lot to talk about here. Of course, we're going to start off with a couple of guys that are definitely potential first-round picks, and both of whom opted out and then came back. And of course, we already mentioned Rondale Moore at Purdue. I mean, he was absolutely out of this world fantastic his freshman year. I mean, just, 114 catches, 1,258 yards with 12 touchdowns. He's everything you want in a wide receiver except tall. I mean, he's 5'9", but he's a strong 5'9". I mean, listed, around 175, he plays stronger than that. If you watch tape of this kid, he breaks tackles. He is elusive. He's strong after the catch. He obviously has got the breakaway speed and quick acceleration. He's got good hands, great contact balance. I mean, this kid is a dynamic talent. So really all we just want to see is, A, can Rondale Moore stay healthy, and B, can he get back to that, that freshman year production from 2 years ago? And then this kid's going to solidify himself as a potential first round pick. If not, it's only because the wide receiver class this year is so ridiculously deep that he'll fall to round two. But that's fine. I mean, he's a round two steal. I'd love to see this kid. I can't wait for him to get to the NFL. The next one is Rashad Bateman. Back to my Gophers. He's more of that prototypical size speed combo that you like to see out of wide receivers. 6'2", 200. He had 60 catches last year for 1,219 yards and 11 touchdowns. And this kid just frequently makes big plays. He has breakaway speed. He's got great hands. He will make spectacular catches. He runs good routes. I think that the sky is the limit for Bateman. I mean, he is in a lot of people's, you know, upper tier for wide receiver rankings. Both of these guys are in my tier one. So that's how high I have both Bateman and Rondale Moore. Moving on to Moore's teammate, David Bell in Purdue, who really stepped up last season, especially after Moore got hurt. David Bell had 86 catches for just over 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns. He's 6 feet, 185. He really uses his body position well to win contested throws. He runs great routes. He adjusts well to the ball, and he will make guys miss afterwards for some yards after the catch. So good hands too. So don't sleep on Bell. This kid's good. He's not someone that you want to just dismiss as, oh, he just got some opportunity because Rondale Moore got hurt. I think these two, if they're both healthy this year, are going to be arguably the best 1-2 combo in all of football for college. So Bell is a definite guy to watch, and he's not eligible till 2022. The next one, as we get into a crowded room at Ohio State, and we're going to be talking about them a lot, especially at the wide receiver position, you've got Garrett Wilson. He is also 2022 eligible. 5'11", 175, just 30 catches last year, 432, and 5 touchdowns. But this kid's the real deal. He will go up high to catch the ball. Great hands. He adjusts well, makes contested catches. Good field awareness. He is the complete wide receiver, and I think he is the number one wide receiver on this team. I know there's people out there, they're going to argue with me, and they're going to say, hey, whoa, what about Chris Olave? And that's the next guy I'm going to talk about. Olave's solid, 6'1", 185, you know, 49 catches, 849, and 12. So better numbers last year. He is eligible in 2021. The thing about Olave, the one word that always comes to mind when I picture him and when I watch him is smooth. This kid is smooth. Just everything he does, I mean, just a smooth route runner, good hands, field awareness. I don't think he's going to beat you deep, but I think he can be that guy that's going to just find a way to get open at both this level and the next level, because he's going to be that technician when running routes. I can see him developing into that, and that's going to be his game. And if that's true, if that's the case, then there is a definite place for him in the NFL, because we've seen wide receivers in the NFL. If they can get open, they can be awesome either on the outside or in the slot. So Olave is definitely a guy to keep an eye on. The last wide receiver I want to talk about is Wandale Robinson from Nebraska. He's a good prospect. I'm skipping over, you know, Nico Collins who left Michigan. I'll get to him in a little bit, but Wandale Robinson has really good athleticism. He's a hybrid running back slash wide receiver. You know, he's elusive, he's quick, shifty, he's a playmaker. So this is a telling season for him. If he can make enough plays and get enough notice, he could be a guy that can find a spot in the right system in the NFL. So that just something to keep an eye on Robinson. Again, I mentioned Nico Collins from Michigan, who also opted out. That's unfortunate for me. I liked Nico Collins' potential, and I'm disappointed we're not going to get to see him this year. I think that's a really interesting decision to make. I'm curious as to why. It's not like he had exploded. I mean, he had 37 catches, 729 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Those aren't awesome numbers. It could be that he's frustrated with the system in Michigan. You know, who knows? He's trying to play it safe from a health standpoint. Of course, there's a few other potential reasons, and no one will really know unless he goes public with it. But I'm bummed that he didn't come back. I want to see him play. I've got a couple shares of him in leagues, and I like his potential for sure. Let's get to the quarterbacks. Not a whole lot to talk about here. Of course, the number one guy is Justin Fields in Ohio State. I mean, this guy is amazing. He is not a run-first quarterback. This guy can throw the ball. I mean, over 3,200 yards, you know, 41 touchdowns, 3 picks, also had almost 500 yards rushing. I mean, he is the complete quarterback. You know, don't judge him based on other Ohio State quarterbacks, you know, just because they're not looking good in the NFL means that you should rate him down. You want to grade and rank the player, not the jersey. And I like a lot of what I see from Fields. I mean, he's obviously going to get drafted in the first round. So the opportunity is going to be there for this kid, and that's really what you're looking for. I mean, he's elusive. He's great at buying extra time, but he keeps his eyes downfield. So that's something that I like to look at for dual threat or running quarterbacks is, do they tuck it and run all the time, or do they use their athleticism to just get extra time to find open wide receivers? And he does a lot of that. And he also throws well on the run. So that's a nice combination. He can make plays with his feet, obviously. So for fantasy football, it could be the best of both worlds, you know, where he's going to get you passing yards, but he's not afraid to get you rushing yards. The other quarterbacks are more shots in the dark type thing. The one guy, you know, getting back to my Gophers, is Tanner Morgan. Tanner Morgan had an awesome season last year, you know, 3,253 yards, 30 touchdowns with just 7 picks, 66% completion. He is definitely a pocket passer. He's not going to make much with his feet at all. He might buy a little extra time, but he's got a solid arm. He's got good accuracy and nice touch. He can make all the throws. So if he can back up his 2019 season with a similar year in 2020, I think this kid could get some look in the NFL. I think he's going to get drafted. I don't think he's going to move into the first round, but you could see him making day two, and that's something to keep an eye on. You know, you're talking a second round, you know, pick in a rookie non-Devy league. You know, if he's a day two pick, you know, depending on, you know, which team drafts him. So Tanner Morgan's definitely a guy to watch. Then the next couple of guys, we've got Maryland transfer from Alabama, Taula Tagovailoa. Interesting. Obviously, this is Tua's brother. So a transfer from Alabama to Maryland. Really don't know much about this kid other than, you know, his evaluation coming out of high school, but like to see, you know, what kind of game does he have? I'm very intrigued by Maryland. I'm going to talk about another one of their players when I get down to the freshman to watch, but Talia is interesting, so we'll see what happens there. And then in Wisconsin, we've got Graham Mertz, who hasn't gotten an opportunity yet, much to pretty much any college football fan's dismay, because the starter there is just not good. And Graham Mertz definitely has more potential. When you watch highlights of him and film on him, you see things that you're like, man, why isn't he getting a chance? So it'll be interesting to see if he gets more of a chance this year. If he does, I think he's going to turn some heads. The last position, of course, is tight ends. And the big one here is Pat Freiermuth. I mean, this kid is NFL ready, probably right now. He is built for the NFL. I've still got him in my tier one of 2021 tight ends. It's a deep tight end class. I mean, everyone's got Kyle Pitts and Brevin Jordan pretty much up there too. But Freiermuth's the real deal. I mean, not only is he a good pass catcher, you know, 43 catches, over 500 yards with 7 touchdowns, but he's going to be that complete tight end. And he's going to be on the field a lot because he can block. He can do all the little things that the tight ends do. Of course, you know, my standard rule of tight ends, especially in Devy leagues, is you got to be careful, because if you take one too early, like let's say you grabbed an Eric Gilbert, you know, freshman going to LSU, he looks awesome, but you're waiting for him, you know, the standard 3 years before he's draft eligible, and then tight ends take longer to develop when they get into the NFL. So now you're waiting even longer for him to produce. I mean, look at two of the stud, you know, rookies from a year ago. We had Noah Fant and we had TJ Hockenson, and we're all still kind of waiting for them to be more consistent, for them to get up to that next level of tight end where we can rely on them every week. We all see the opportunity, we all see the talent, and we know it's coming, but it just takes a long time for these tight ends. Like Shaq would say if he were here, you're not learning one position, you're really learning two. Because you got to learn how to be a wide receiver 3 or 4 and run the routes and get open. But then you also have to learn how to be like a sixth offensive lineman and do all the blocking schemes. I mean, that's a lot to learn. So again, I love Freiermuth. You know, he's a guy that, you know, especially in a tight end premium or two tight end league, he's going to have a lot more value. But I think he's going to be a successful player in the NFL. The next guys are prospects. We don't know where they're going to go or how good they're going to be, but they're definitely worth mentioning. We got Jeremy Ruckert at Ohio State. Doesn't have the production you want to see, you know, just 14 catches, but that's because the wide receivers there are so flipping good that he just doesn't get the ball thrown to him. But he's got soft hands, and he'll make some difficult catches. So interesting to see if he can get a little more this year, but, you know, you're going to see him get drafted, I'm sure. And then Jake Ferguson from Wisconsin is another solid player. He's got better production than Ruckert. 6'5", 246, and he's had, you know, over 30 catches in two consecutive years, over 400 yards, 2 and 4 touchdowns respectively. Just a solid player. I mean, good hands. You're not going to get a ton of opportunity in that Badger offense. Everybody knows they kick out running backs, you know, like Penn State does. I mean, it's ridiculous how many running backs Wisconsin has put into the NFL. So with Ferguson, I think you got to look past the stats and just accept the fact that, you know, he could be a sleeper and a dark horse and make it in the next level. So I like his opportunity there. So let's quick talk about some freshmen to watch. I wanted to, you know, talk about them separately just because, you know, and again, unless you're in a really deep league, you might not be drafting any of these guys yet. But guys to watch for future Devy drafts, the only quarterback I got my eye on, and this is just in case there's some blowout, you know, garbage time, is CJ Stroud at Ohio State. I like this kid's film. He looks good. Of course, you know, getting drafted or getting picked by Ohio State immediately means you're good, right? I mean, they don't take bad players, and they just continue to kick out stud after stud. So we'll see if this guy the next guy at Ohio State, and does he get any opportunity this year? Of course, it's going to rely on, you know, either Fields getting hurt, which we don't want to happen, or there's a blowout and he gets into the game. That he, you know, a guy to keep an eye on. Running backs, a few more here. Of course, the big name for me is Jalen Berger at Wisconsin. Just the fact that he's going to Wisconsin immediately kicks him up the rankings. But I like what I see from this kid. He's got a nice burst. Good solid all-around player, 4-star. So Berger's probably the number one running back, you know, of this class in the Big Ten. Even ahead of maybe the Penn State guys, but that'll be an interesting thing to play out because, of course, we've already talked about them. Then you've got Kai Thomas at Minnesota, my Gophers. So is he going to get in there his freshman year, or will he have to wait behind Abraham? So it'll be interesting to see there. And Blake Corum at Michigan. Of course, he's got Zach Charbonnet ahead of him, so tough to tell there. But, you know, usually freshman running back can get on the field, so we'll see, you know, if either of these guys can step up and make it. Wide receivers, there's a few more big names to talk about, and amazingly, 3 out of the 4 guys I'm going to talk about all are going to Ohio State. It's just an absurd class that Ohio State had, especially at wide receiver. The big one's Julian Fleming. I mean, this kid is the real deal. He is going to be absolutely fantastic, 5-star prospect. So love Julian Fleming. He's probably gone in a lot of Devy leagues just because he's one of those guys you're gonna reach for late because he's that highly rated. But the other one that I really like, too, is Jackson Smith-Njigba. He looks every bit the part. I mean, you watch this kid's tape, and it's all, like, making these spectacular catches, and he makes them look easy. I think this is as complete a wide receiver as you're going to see in this class. I'm really excited to see what he brings this year, and really disappointed that I've got absolutely zero shares of him in my Campus to Canton leagues. So that's a big time bummer. Hopefully I can figure out a way to rectify that issue. And the last one is G. Scott Jr. And do not sleep on this kid, because there's a lot of people out there that are talking about how good this kid is. And the only reason he's not getting talked about more is because he's got Fleming and Smith-Njigba ahead of him in the rankings. But this could be one of those classes, you know, like Alabama we've seen in the past, where there's 3 great prospects that are all coming out, and you're going to see, you know, 2 of them drafted in the first round, another one in the second round. I mean, that absolutely is possible. So, you know, which one of these guys is going to step up this season, you know, especially if they're all healthy and with already the couple of guys we've mentioned. And then the last one is Rakim Jarrett, a highly rated, highly recruited prospect going to Maryland. Another one where, I mean, this kid, you know, if you tier your freshman wide receivers, he's up there in the tier one. I mean, just good speed, a smooth runner. He's going to make guys miss. He has extremely high potential for yards after the catch. 6 feet, 208. So he's got the size. I mean, just like the other guys we talked about. I mean, the sky's the limit there. Is he going to be able to team up with Tagovailoa and what, you know, let the two of them just develop together? So that's it for the freshman. I'm not going to get into tight ends just because even though the Big Ten had like literally half of the top 10 tight ends in the freshman class, in my opinion, it's just too early to really get into freshman tight ends. You know, they're like I said, they're so far away. So unless you're talking about a standout like Eric Gilbert, you're better off waiting and just see what happens. I mean, we talked about the freshman classes in earlier podcasts, and the hit rate of these guys, especially at tight end, is so low that it's just not worth, you know, investing your draft capital in them yet. You got to wait to see, you know, who shakes out. So that is it for the Big Ten preview. Next week, hopefully we'll be back to our normal show, get either Shaq or Matt or both if we're lucky back, and we'll do the usual week 8 review. We'll do some comps, stock risers and fallers, et cetera, that kind of stuff. So should be fun. Of course, you can find Matt on Twitter at @DHH_Matt. He's also doing rankings on Dynasty Nerds. Shaq's at Dynasty Tools on Twitter, does some film editing for Dynasty Nerds, and he co-hosts the Dynasty Tools podcast when he has time. Again, I'm Skip Newton at SkipNewton31 on Twitter. Would love to hear any feedback that any of you guys have. You know, what do you want us to talk about? We're always game for that, so would love to have that. I'm covering the ACC for the Dynasty Draft Room as well. And of course, we are part of the Dynasty Happy Hour team of podcasts. So you've got the Dynasty Happy Hour, Tim Keller, Doug Eddy, and Tyler Gunthener. You've got the DHH Contractor, hosted by Randy, aka Memphis, where he takes your roster and breaks it down with you and gives you a roadmap for success. I love listening to that. It's awesome stuff. And you can reach out to him at DFF Memphis. And then the IDP Power Hour is currently looking for two new hosts. So that's not running yet, but we'd like to get that back because I love learning about individual defensive players. It's kind of a nice little niche of the fantasy world, but it's fun to play. So look for that if we can. And then to wrap up, I am going to talk about my new thing where I do my thank yous or my appreciations. And I've got three guys I want to talk about. One is Felix Sharp. Felix is a call him a Twitter friend. We've even played some poker together online. Great guy, great analysis. So hopefully you're following him. And the next two guys are for the same reason that the reason why I'm listing them. And it's Brandon Lejeune and Ray Garvin. And these two guys, I'm listing them not just because I appreciate what they bring to Devi and to Campus to Canton, because their analysis is awesome. I love their work. I love listening to them. But really want to do a shout out to both of them because they do these solo podcasts all the time. And they make it sound good and it's entertaining. And it's like, wow, that's not easy. And they do a great job. So kudos to you guys. Thank you very much. I appreciate all three of you. And thank you to the listeners for chiming in. Sorry, it's just me. Hopefully you found this interesting. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, enjoy the weekend of college football and be a good human.